You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Let me kick in from the Bible. We've got to get going. We're in week two of our Christmas series, which is Christmas number ones. And today we are preaching around a Christmas movie called Home Alone. Anybody like Home Alone? Now, just to give you, that's got a good round of applause there. To give you a little bit of context, we are not preaching from a movie, but we are using the movie to help illustrate points. We are preaching from the Bible, the Word of God, before any of you get the idea to email me tomorrow. So the Bible says this in Luke 2, starting at verse 1 to verse 7, says this: "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register." Verse 4, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be his wife and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born." Verse 7, "She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." Have you ever had a moment in your life where you've been entirely surrounded by company but felt incredibly lonely and isolated? Why don't we look to the screens for our first clip from Home Alone. Thanks, team.
Did anyone order me plain cheese?
Oh, yeah, we did. But if you want any, somebody's gonna have to barf it all up, because it's gone.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Get a plate.
And
look what you did, you little jerk.
Kevin, get upstairs right now.
Why?
Kevin, you're such a disease.
Shut up.
Kevin, upstairs.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.
Now it's for you. Wow, my goodness. What a disaster, right? We've got Kevin, whose family from, you know, all over have gathered to his house, and they've already got a big family. They live in this huge mansion, and it's pure and utter chaos, isn't it? It's the night before they fly out to Paris to go and celebrate Christmas, and it's just chaos taking place. And Kevin is in the middle of this chaos and is having a really, really tough time, isn't he? His sister before that says to him, "Kevin, you're what the French call les incompetents." Ouch. His brother says he's a disease. He's called all sorts of names by stingy Uncle Frank. And then to top it all off, he's threatened to sleep in the same bed as his cousin Fuller, who wets the bed, who gives him the eyebrows as if to say, "Tonight's my night." Kevin is in this scene where there's so many people, there's so much going on. It's total chaos, but he's feeling incredibly alone. And all of us have had these times in life. Maybe it's you've joined a new job. It's a sports team. It's a new school. You're around tons of people. There's people everywhere. There's stuff happening. But you feel incredibly isolated and alone. In fact, the loneliness stats back this up. In 2022, almost 50% of adults, this is 26 million in the UK, reported feeling lonely occasionally, sometimes, often, or always. Approximately 7% of people in Great Britain experience chronic loneliness, meaning they feel lonely often or always. This has risen from 6% in 2020, indicating that there has not been a return to pre-pandemic levels of loneliness. In the world today, there exists 8.2 billion people. We've got social media, we've got smartphones, we've got so many ways and methods and channels of communication, of staying in touch, of keeping contact. But the stats say that more and more and more people are feeling lonely and isolated in a world with communication like never before. We are becoming more and more isolated. It would be really easy for me to dip into preaching a message about the multifaceted kingdom of God, about bridging the social isolation and all of those things which are really important. But I want to start here today with this message. The starting point for addressing loneliness is not about who is around you, but about who is within you. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified for them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Proverbs says this in chapter 18 verse 24, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but today there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And so the danger today is if we put all our eggs in the basket of social relationships and integration, we're going to still feel lonely. But today there is someone that you can experience in your life and in your heart who, like the Bible says, sticks closer than a brother, will never leave you nor forsake you. There is somebody today that you can access and live by and live through who cures the symptoms of loneliness. And his name is Jesus Christ, who is before us, beyond us, beside us, alongside us, and with us. And because of Jesus, Liverpool fans, you're going to love this. We never walk alone. I mean, they are top of the league with a game in hand. You can't really say a lot. When you walk closely with Jesus, you have to know we never walk alone. Let me tell you really quickly in 18 minutes, three things about what takes place when you walk closely with Jesus. The first one is this, is you can have confidence in the unknown. If you're taking notes, write that at the top. You can have confidence in the unknown. Luke 2, 5 to 7 says this, "He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son, wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger." Why? Random, isn't it? Because there was no room at the inn. In this account, we've got Mary, who is in very unconventional circumstances to have her first child, isn't she? She's out the back in a manger with the animals, with her husband-to-be, and she's in very unknown circumstances. In fact, there's noise happening at the inn. There's so much stuff taking place that when they arrive at the inn, there's no room for them, so they're basically sent away, sent out to the back, and she can hear the noise. She can hear what's taking place. There's laughter. It's a bustling environment at the inn, surrounded by people, but yet feeling completely isolated and lonely, just like Kevin in Home Alone, who's surrounded by company, but feels very much independent and alone in unknown-looking circumstances. And so today, I want to suggest for us, in the midst of the unknown, you have to lean on what is known. Here in the Bible, it says in Luke 1:28, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" Mary has a word to bank on, that the Lord is with her. So even in the unknown, where there's no nice hospital environment, there's no nice tea and toast after, there's no nice, you know, comfy pillows and lounges, in the middle of all of this, Mary is in very unfamiliar circumstances, but she can have confidence in the unknown because she has a word. The Lord is with her. The Bible expands it like this in Isaiah 7:14. Says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Jesus is the fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy written thousands of years before this event has taken place, given the symbolic name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. How do we apply that to our lives? I want to suggest in whatever unknown circumstances you face, the roller coasters of life, the ups and downs, the twists and turns, the in-betweens, when you've got a word to bank on, a word from God, you can have confidence because the Lord is with you. Oh, three people are excited about that. Whatever you face, go through, up, down, high or low, the Lord is with you, Isaiah says. An ever-present help in times of trouble, that because of Jesus, we never walk alone. The second thing I want to suggest about walking closely with Jesus is that faith directs your steps. Faith directs your steps. The Bible says this in Matthew 2, verse 13. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child to his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose, took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. Let's look to the screens for our second clip from Home Alone.
This is ridiculous. Only a wimp would be hiding under a bed. And I can't be a wimp. I'm the man of the house.
Hey! I'm not afraid anymore! I said I'm not afraid anymore! Do you hear me? I'm not afraid anymore!
What is going on there? Great question. Glad you asked it. So Kevin has been told this rumor by his brother Buzz that old man Marley, who he's called that character on screen, salts the streets around that time of the year because he uses the salt to basically preserve whatever the word is. It's a bit weird. The dead bodies of the victims that he kills, that he's a serial killer that lives next door to them. So Kevin's all out there on the street, full of faith, you know, full of confidence. And then he meets old man Marley, who's got the shovel, and he remembers the story that Buzz has told him, and he absolutely freaks out and runs. We've got Mary and the family, who in this circumstance are too running from Herod. There's been a word that's been put out that Herod's going to kill the child, and so they run to Egypt. But the difference in what is taking place here is huge because Kevin is running on a rumor, whereas Mary runs on a word. Kevin runs from a rumor of old man Marley is going to kill me, whereas Mary has a word from God, faith that then directs her steps and causes her to live in a direction that aligns with the word of God. And so we today don't live in the compass of walking through the rumor mill of society whereby we listen to the 24/7 news cycle to direct our steps, where we listen to the advice of colleagues, good or bad, to direct our steps. We don't listen to humanism or Buddhism or atheism or other things to direct our steps. We, people of the book, the word of God, faith directs our steps. What we live by is a word from the Lord, Psalm 119, verse 105 says it like this, your word is a lamp onto my feet and a light onto my path. In other words, the word illuminates what's around me so that I can take the next step. And when the word is in front of me, it aligns and it guides and it steers me and tells me where to go. So today you've got to get out of the cycle of the rumor mill, running from rumors. Oh no, but the budget's coming in. Oh no, but next year's not going to be a good year. Oh no, but the newspapers say the church is on the back foot. Oh no, but stop living on a rumor and start living on a word from the Lord. Come on. And faith directs your steps. Wow. You know what happens? I no longer need to have confidence in the societal issues around me, whether the stocks are up and to the right or down and to the left, whether the reports on the news are favorable or unfavorable, because I am guided, steered by the word of God that doesn't depend on my knowledge, my ability, my skin in the game, my sweat equity, what I've done, what I've achieved. It depends on the very voice of God. So here we have Kevin running on a rumor, but Mary running on a word. And so faith is directing her steps. When you walk closely with Jesus, you live your life aligned with the Bible. And I think for many of us today, we've got to start rejecting the rumors and start embracing the word. Oh, whatever you're facing today, whatever you've come up against, whatever's for you or against you in life, just get a word. Live in the word, get a word, and faith will direct your steps. The third thing about walking closely with Jesus is this, is good triumphs over evil. We never walk alone. Good triumphs over evil. Why don't you look to the screens for our last clip from Home Alone?
Harry, get up! Give me a hand! Ow! I got him! Harry, help me! Get up! I got him!
What are you doing, Marv?
Harry, don't move.
Marv?
Don't move.
Marv, what are you doing? Marv.
Hi! Gee! Did I get him? Did I get him? Where is it? Where is it?
Never mind, I just get him. How do you like it, huh? You jerk! Get that kid for us! Get that kid!
There we go. If you've not seen the movie, what has taken place right now is that Kevin's been left home alone, thus the title, and his parents, his family have all gone on a trip to Paris, and he's been left at home, and some burglars decide to come and rob the house. And so Kevin is, you know, up against the odds as a young boy and two burglars, and he just goes into butt-kicking mode, doesn't he, if you watch the movie, and he puts all these traps around the house, and, you know, he defends it. And in the end, he escapes, and the police come and get the two robbers, who I think name themselves the Wet Bandits or the Sticky Bandits, some terrible, terrible name. And they're in jail until Home Alone 2. There you go, cliffhanger, watch that over the Christmas season. So we've got a play going on here, good versus evil. And there's this same moment in the Bible we've just been reading about. Let me dig slightly deeper. So Matthew 2, 19 to 23. It says, after Herod died, so this is at the end of the running, on the word of God, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. Verse 21. So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that, let's go for Archelaus, does that sound right, Archelaus? Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod. He was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. Verse 23, last verse. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets that he would be called a Nazarene. So in the end, in spite of less than ideal circumstances, he's literally, Jesus is born in a manger. It's not really the setup for a king, if we're honest, is it? And then as he's born, he's been told by God to go on the run. Joseph, take your family because Herod is coming after him for your life. And right at the end here, we've got where they can go back and live in the land. And so the word of God, in the end, in spite of the up and down roller coaster, the word of God was fulfilled. All along, God had a sovereign plan that he was knitting together, that he was masterfully crafting, weaving together, orchestrating, putting the jigsaw pieces together. And the beauty of that unfolding in Mary's life was because she followed and carried the word and the promise from God. And in the end, good triumphed over evil. So I'm gonna tell you today, you don't need to fear what is, because good will triumph over evil. I've read the last pages in the Bible, and it says that the devil is defeated. He's under our feet. He's got no play left. He's used his final roll of the dice, that we today are on the winning team. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. 1 John 5:4, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory in Jesus that has overcome the world. Oh, today, Audacious Church, whatever Goliath, obstacle, challenge, financial issue, whatever family dynamic, tension you're facing, whatever it looks like that is against you in your life, because you walk closely with Jesus, you never walk alone. And so good triumphs over evil. Oh, what joy today. I'm on the winning team. You're on the winning team. Because of Jesus, we never walk alone. Take heart today. Whatever you're facing, you never walk alone. And good will, at some point in your life, triumph over evil. The issue we have as people walking the Word of God, following the Lord, is that we want it in our time frame and on our time scale and convenient McDonald's fast food, don't we? We want it in 20 seconds or we're leaving and getting something else. We've got to stay faithful like Mary did years past before Herod died and they could return to the land that was promised them. And so there might be a waiting period, but I want to encourage you to live by the Word of God, have confidence in the unknown, let faith direct your steps, and ultimately good will triumph over evil. Mary carried literally and spiritually the word of God. Jesus talked about in John, the word from God, Jesus in her belly, in her womb, she was carrying the word of God. That's all well and good for Mary, isn't it? You know, carrying the savior of the world. She had it easy. Interesting. Even though the physical Jesus lived in Mary, that because of the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus now lives in us. Catch this, Ephesians 1:13 says, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? So if you're a Christian today following God, the Holy Spirit, who is God, given, sent from heaven as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come, lives in you. You've got direct access to God. You've got a straight line of communication. The power and anointing and authority that was given to Jesus has now been given to you. So you can tell those mountains to move in Jesus' name. You don't have to live as a victim. You can live as a victor. You're an overcomer, the Bible says. You aren't on the back foot of society. We aren't under. We are over. We're not the tail. We're the head. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us, the Bible said. Oh, somebody needs to get a grip on that truth today, that because of Jesus, we never walk alone. And we don't just walk alone with a friend. We walk with the power and the presence of God in our lives. Oh, this is truth. This isn't just nice words from an Irish guy with a dodgy accent. Why are you laughing? the Word of God. The method changes, i.e. the lights, the band, the drums, the church environment. The method changes over time, but throughout the centuries, the message has never changed. You should go and look up how many prophecies from the Old Testament match in the New Testament from different authors thousands of years later in a time where there was no internet. Crazy. The odds of that happening are akin to drawing a 2 meter by 2 meter square on every part of the earth, giving the earth a spin and landing on the square that you picked beforehand. That's literally the odds that have been worked out of this being what it is, the Word of God. And all of us who are Christians today have had a personal encounter with Jesus. I talked about it earlier, 14 years ago. I was 16, looking for life and relationships, alcohol, substance, people, things, title, status. Everything left me empty on the inside. Until one night I got on my knees and just said, hey, I don't have this all worked out, but people have told me about Jesus. They've told me how he's not a fun thief and came to give me life, not steal my life. And so, hey, if this is real, Jesus, I give my life to you. Show me what it looks like to follow you. And the next day I woke up, felt like I'd put on new skin. I was happy going to school for the first time, which definitely was a miracle, and the young people know. Everything changed. And I describe it like this. I was seeing the world in the picture of a black and white TV. I could see the picture. I could see what was happening. It all looked good and looked great. But when I asked Jesus into my heart, was suddenly like seeing the world in high definition, full color, on an 80-inch screen. It was like everything started to come alive because purpose had been awakened inside of me. And so all of us have that question to ask, and Mark put it so beautifully in our Alpha plug earlier. What do we do with Jesus? What do we say this life is all about? Really two choices, pure chance or Jesus. He was a historical figure, he was real, he lived an incredible life. And so I want to ask you, what do you do with Jesus today? You don't have to get it all right and sort yourself out before coming to him. That makes no sense. That's like showing up to the hospital but waiting for you to get well first. Just doesn't make any sense. When you're sick, when you're hurting, when you're broken on the inside, you go to the hospital. And so for all of us today, and everybody you've watched on stage today has made that personal decision. And it doesn't mean life's easy. This is not the game we play. But it means you walk life with an incredible Savior. You've got a promise of eternity to come. And John 10:10 in the Bible says, Jesus has come to give you life and life to the full. I have better parties in church now than I ever had in the world. So I've got purpose, forgiveness, security. I can sleep well in my bed at night, not worrying about tomorrow, what will happen next. Doesn't mean it'll be easy, far from it, but it means I walk with Jesus. That because of Jesus, I never walk alone.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.